It is good to be here today. It seems the months go so quickly, and I'm sure you have felt that way. And I can't believe it's September already. So, September 1st, yes, welcome. You can't hear me? Ah, okay. Orn, is that better? Oh, okay. Thank you for speaking up. Okay, thank you. Okay. Well, the gift of grace. A man dies and goes to heaven. Oops, I'm getting a little back play on that. Yeah, okay. Peter meets him at the pearly gates, and Peter says, here's how it works. You need 100 points to make it into heaven. You tell me all the good things you've done, and I'll give you a certain number of points for each item, depending on how good it was. When you reach 100 points, you get in. Okay, the man says, I was married to the same woman for 50 years and never cheated on her, not even in my heart. That's wonderful, said Peter. That's worth 3 points. 3 points, he says. Well, I attended church all my life and supported its ministry with my tithe and service. Terrific, says Peter. That's certainly worth a point. 1 point? Golly. How about this? I started a soup kitchen in my city and worked in a shelter for homeless veterans. Fantastic. That's worth 2 more points, Peter says. 2 points, the man cried. At this rate, the only way I'll get into heaven is by the grace of God. With those words, Peter said, come on in. I like that one. Well, my talk is the gift of grace. In 1997, a virus attacked my husband Jim's heart, and he was diagnosed with severe heart failure and given 1 to 2 years to live. On August 13, 2015, he made his transition. Last month's anniversary brought back a wealth of memories and gratitude. One particularly quickens my heart. That is the presence of grace in our lives, especially during the last 18 years of Jim's life. And before I go further, I'd like to look at some definitions and qualities of grace. Grace, the freely given, unmerited favor and love of God. The influence or spirit of God operating in humans to regenerate or strengthen them. Grace is uncontrollable, utterly free, ferociously wrong. Ferociously strong. Excuse me, I got to. So the word grace implies infinite good and above all, love. First rule of grace, grace rules. Here in Unity, we believe grace is the activity of the one presence of God. It is a transforming power of God, allowing us to freely and openly express our Christ nature. Grace is realized through abiding faith in the ceaseless, creative, loving energy of God, which knows only good for us. As expressions of God, we are blessed not only as the recipients of God's grace, but as the very channels through which grace flows. In his book, Leave Your Net, Joel Goldsmith, one of my favorite mystics, teaches that included in the word grace is all that is meant by the word gift. The gift of God is a sufficiency or a capability like the 12 powers. In the freedom of grace, which is not of this world, God is the creative principle, the infinite power. Grace is fulfillment. And grace does not bring partial success or partial happiness, nor does it demand of us that which we cannot fulfill. Grace brings a task and a responsibility to us, and the wisdom to perform it. And grace also brings whatever is necessary for its fulfillment, whether it's transportation, funds, books, teachers, or teachings. Under grace, Tomorrow is not our concern, but God. And whatever is given us to do must be done to the highest of our present understanding of God. God has placed that responsibility upon us. God has given us that task, that joy, that privilege, and we perform it to the best of our ability. And then, if necessary, wait expectantly for the next task to be given to us. To doubt that it will be given, to doubt that there is insufficient strength and resources necessary to carry it to fruition, and to doubt that it will bring with it joy and success, is to have no understanding of the meaning of grace. To Goldsmith, divine grace is the realization that God meets the needs of all his children, and therefore it is not necessary to go out and evangelize to force them to a realization of grace. God knows our needs and will lead us to the teachings necessary for our growth. It is divine grace to go about your work knowing, not that you must do it, but that you are the instrument through which it is done. Grace is the realization you must accomplish any work and every work because the responsibility is not yours. The idea, the wisdom, the strength is God's, and the necessary love, substance, and activity are God's. It is divine grace that enables you to fulfill every demand upon you, and this grace leaves you free and joyous to experience what is called this human life. This life, understood through grace, is not a human life at all. It is divine. Why is it divine? Because you are the living expression of God. Grace also includes forgiveness. At times we hold ourselves captive to the belief deserved punishment for our failings of omission and commission. And often we hold others captive to those same beliefs. But under the life of grace, there is forgiveness without any consideration for whether one deserved it, earned, or is worthy of it. Something to remember, right? Nothing can separate you from the life of God or from the love of God. The only thing that can separate you from the love of God is your acceptance of a sense of separation. Grace is love and wants only goodness for us. It is for you to surrender to love, to a dependence on the gift of the grace of God, and not on the power of our materialistic world. When you attend to your spiritual growth, you learn there is no way of getting anything from anyone. There is no way of getting anything out of anything. And there is no hope for those who expect to get. Life, spiritually understood, is not a getting process. You will get out of life whatever you put into it, no more and no less. The grace and love of God bless us continually. These divine attributes work so silently, so constantly in every aspect of our lives that at times we may not recognize that they are gifts from God. I encourage you, if you don't do it now, to use your bedtime reflection to recall the gifts that you receive daily. And when I first started doing that, I was amazed. I'm still in awe some days. You can pray confidently, for prayer is a call to life. As you keep your faith centered in the realization of God's grace, the gift is opened for you. It is a permanent gift that is given to everyone and not just a select few. To accept this gift of God's grace, we meet every day with joy and bring joy, not only to ourselves, but also to the lives of our friends and our families as we give expression to God's grace through us. There is nothing to accomplish that can be accomplished under the that cannot be accomplished under the order of God's grace. When we meet each day with anticipation and an expectation of miracles, we will live God-given, grace-filled lives. Think back to this morning when you rose from bed. Was that where you were? Anticipation and expectation. Okay? Yeah. Grace has also been defined as an opening to the goodness available in the world. A goodness that is often hidden in times of pain and sorrow, and often taken for granted when times are good. Well, I'm here to let you in on a secret. Grace does happen. It doesn't exist in the sense that existence means matter filling up space like this podium. No, grace is too dynamic to exist like that. What grace does is grace happens. In 2010, my husband Jim had a heart attack during surgery and suffered total heart failure. After 6 weeks of different medication trials at Election Brothers Hospitals, we were given the news that nothing more could be done to help him. On that day, Jim was to go home on hospice and told he might live 2 to 3 months. A cardiologist who had been on vacation dropped in to see Jim and I that day. He told us there was a chance that the University of Chicago Medical Center could possibly help based on some new Medicare-approved procedures. And then he called Dr. Anderson at the center, since he had been had seen Jim for about 10 years at the heart clinic. It was determined Jim would be transported by helicopter to Chicago that afternoon. Grace happens when we can open ourselves to the goodness available in the world. Grace happened when Dr. Mullins brought a smile and hope to Jim and me in that time of tragedy, sadness, and turmoil. Grace happened when Dr. Anderson, after another medication trial of 6 weeks, was able to offer Jim the possibility of a longer life with the insertion of an LVAD, which is a left ventricular assist device, and it's a type of artificial heart. Grace happened when we were told it had been only months since the LVAD procedure had been approved as a destination for patients with Jim's prognosis. Grace is an unconditional expression of God's love for all. Grace happens to the extent that we let it happen. With that offer, Jim made the decision to get the LVAD, even though he was very frightened and uncertain of that procedure. He knew we loved him, and if he didn't take the risk, again, the prognosis of dying still applied if he refused the LVAD. And he knew, as a grandfather, he wanted to watch his grandchildren grow up, especially Maddie, the youngest one, who was 5 months old at that time and had been brought in to be laid on the bed next to him in the ICU for those 3 months, the last 3 months. In unity, we have no ready-made, one-size-fits-all conduit for grace. Unity is not a sacramental religion, but we still do need grace. In our faith, you and I channel grace each to the other. Dr. Mullins and Dr. Anderson were the channels for Jim and me during those next months. By placing our trust in God's almighty goodness and the physician's skill, we surrendered to that highly risky treatment. Grace is not an inside job. One cannot be both the conduit for the recipient of grace and the receiver. Grace happens. It is not for sale. It is not a commodity to be purchased, but it's not cheap either. Yet we do not have to earn grace. Grace happens freely and with no strings attached. And grace happens when we pass it on one to another. And in so doing, we feel needed, feel loved, feel we are necessary channels, which allows that grace to flow unhindered. That was the role that I, our family, our fellow Unity members, and many of you are sitting here that supported us during that time. And the medical team played during Jim's 7-month hospitalization, filled with unexpected complications. We experienced the warmth of God's love many times, most powerfully when that love was expressed by another human being, somebody dropping in. I see Beth sitting there. She came all the way from out in the boonies all the way downtown to see us several times. Matthew Rose came to sing, and Kimber. There were so many visits. Marcia and Rick came, and Rick ended up pulling staples out of my head that day because I had fallen a few weeks before and I couldn't get to the doctor. It was interesting. It was interesting. And it was so loving for all the people that were there. I appreciate it. Yeah. We experienced the warmth of God many times, most powerfully when that love is expressed by all you human beings in our life. Jim and I found great comfort in that realization that God's grace always had a human face. In Unity's belief system, we have no outward signs that serve as a conduit for grace, such as the sacraments and Catholicism. What we do have here is each other and the love we share. And we can thank each other and thank God and thank goodness that grace does happen. We need grace in our lives, just as we need each other. Grace doesn't just surprise us. It also often invites us to be part of the surprise. It's sneaky that way. It likes to enlist us as partners in love. Our outreach to the folks at Hesed House is an example of our being both givers and receivers of grace. Think about that when you go. All that you receive is probably greater than your giving. Mark Nepo, in his book, The One Life We're Given, reminds us that feeling our experience of grace can thoroughly give us access to what others feel. Not to feel is to stop the heart from breathing. When we can inhabit the reality of our full and ordinary lives, the boundaries between us vanish. If we can keep our hearts open just a bit longer, the boundaries between yesterday and today vanish as well. And our efforts open into the grace of a timeless communion with all living things. This is how we experience heaven, by being completely authentic in the moment until it opens into all moments, until we are connected in the presence of all hearts. Yet it is no mistake that to suffer means to feel keenly. For to feel deeply and precisely with full awareness is what opens us up to both joy and sorrow. The truth is that as the lungs make use of the air we breathe, the heart makes use of the things we experience. To be alive is to feel. It is our right. It is the necessary privilege to feel keenly that reveals the meaning in our life experience. Living with an open heart can be liberating and renewing, but it also can be draining and overwhelming at times. We can become emotionally overloaded and even deadened if we can't break out of the replaying of our pain. Many of us may have experienced pain when we are faced with what happened and continues to happen to the immigrant children at our southern borders. I felt it each time I heard Jim's prognosis. To help us deal with this pain we may be holding on to, Nepo suggests we see our heart like a flag that surrenders to the wind. A flag doesn't hold on to the wind, yet it couldn't be more immersed in the wind. Our job is not to stop or gather that life of feeling, but to let it keep moving through us, the way a flag opens itself to the wind. In that way, we can offer our love, our smiles, our hope. Once we let that, what we feel, move through us, no matter how difficult the life of feeling ever coming our way enables us to recover our aliveness. Such wholeheartedness empowers us to go on. During Jim's miraculous gift of an additional 4.5 years on this earth, when I held on to one feeling, whether pleasant or painful, I held my breath sometimes inside my heart, realizing that I had to face the sadness and welcome the joy. I knew I had to let go. When I let the life of feeling continue to unfold, I could welcome grace. When I met my pain wholeheartedly without drowning in it, I fell into one long moment of life. And there I knew the ache of being human. When I stopped fixing my ideas as assumptions and conclusions of everything that was going to happen, and entered what hadn't yet happened, it was with complete wonder, and I could fall into that endless stream of aliveness that has been flowing since the beginning of time. I could get up in the morning and joke around with Jim as he said to me, "Oh no, the weekend nurse again, the one with the cold hands." Yeah. I could laugh with that. My challenge was in letting life continue to unfold, despite my longings or regret, and that was how my efforts turned into grace. When I let go of resistance to my feelings of uncertainty, I could sink into that weightless depth of all feeling. When I opened myself to feeling my kinship with all who were in my life supporting me and Jim, I felt a wave of all our feelings lift me with its depth and its buoyancy. Though such knowing didn't eliminate any pain or struggle, feeling my place in that human sea of others introduced me to grace over and over again. Grace is a gift. Jim's life and the passing are the gifts that keep on giving me courage and strength and joy for every day. I would not be standing up here if it were not for his encouragement and support to continue my work. And I did continue my work through those 18 years because of him. He critiqued all my talks. He never came to a Unity class, but he knew as much as I did about it, I think. What I have left is so much greater than I could have ever imagined from this thing called death. God and Jim led me to a higher state of mind through grace. Grace is not a free pass from spirit allowing us to escape pain and heartache, but God will see us through it in the most difficult times of our lives. There is a hope. There is hope for a brighter tomorrow when the grace of God lives in us, as us. When we know that God doesn't leave us, even for a moment. It is the gift of grace that continues to inspire me and fuels my compassion to inspire others to look for the gift of grace in every situation in your life. By accepting grace, By accepting grace into our lives, we become transformed. We learn to expect and accept protection from the Holy Spirit, our help in every need. Then we can overcome any of the difficulties that come our way. Ours is to stay conscious, be aware of the presence of God within. This takes practice, and we are here to support each other in this each day of our lives.